activist, I remembered to clip it on and turn it on. I'm still working on this tablet thing, so I'm going to keep trying it until I win, and then maybe I'll put the tablet aside and go back to paper. Well, good morning, church. And good morning to you, Lord. I don't know about you all, but I am filled with all kinds of hope and joy. And even if you don't have children or grandchildren, just being out and about and seeing the children and feeling the excitement in the air about Christmas coming is magical. I wish that our feeling about Jesus coming were just as magical as the magic that the children anticipate. And for some of us, we get glimpses of it, at least for me, I do. But it's difficult. It's difficult for me to maintain that enthusiasm and that joy and that overwhelming sense of anticipation in the midst of all that's going on in the world, and also in the midst of all that the gospel tells us, all that the readings tell us, all that that we have to stop and interpret about this season. And for me, in a lot of ways, Christmas is just, there's no interpretation of it. You know what I mean? It just is. But at some level, I have to consider the events of Christmas and what they mean to us, not just as gifts and not just as the time of family, but as the time when our Savior, when God came into the world as Jesus. Today we find ourselves in the home stretch of our Advent journey, and we're preparing for the story of the birth of Jesus. And we consider we're preparing this in the consideration of the events from the eyes of Joseph, which I find to be really fascinating. Because Joseph is sort of like off to the side. We don't think, you know, we say, oh, Mary and the baby, and yes, we know Joseph was in the manger. But the enormity of what Joseph did often goes unconsidered, I think. For starters, Joseph, by all means and all rites of tradition, could have just quietly divorced his engagement to Mary. He could have put her aside. No one would have thought twice about it. No one would have blamed him for it. And there was no reason for him to believe that anything other than infidelity was involved in Mary's pregnancy. But see, then Joseph went that extra step, that step that I wish I could go to every single day, and that was the step to take time and trust in what it was that God said to him. God sent an angel to say to him, you know, don't worry about this, Joseph. God's got it. You just need to be faithful. And Joseph stays the course, and he listens to that messenger from God. And that paves the way for the miracle to take place in a context that could be believed. At least for me, it does. Joseph stays the course and listens to the messengers, and then that gives us the invitation to also stay the course and to listen to the messengers and to say, yes, this is possible. This is actually true. This willingness on Joseph's part is the key to the fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus will be a member of the house of David. Now see, that house of David, that lineage comes through Joseph. It doesn't come through Mary. So if you think about it, without Joseph, we get into a little bit of a problem. But Joseph is faithful, and he makes the fulfillment faithful. So some of what Matthew writes about here, you know, brings us to ask questions or all kinds of wondering about. It's just that Matthew asks all the hard questions, in my opinion. He asks the questions through Joseph. Is this possible? Is this true? What about? What if? But the entire script of Jesus coming and Jesus being resurrected are all so fantastical that it requires Matthew grounding us at the very beginning. Because isn't the Bethlehem story, isn't it kind of fantastical? You can say yes, because it is. I mean, I know a lot of people who say, you know, I'd be a Christian, except I can't get past that virgin birth thing. Well, the virgin birth is nothing compared to the resurrection, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know. So anyways, in my opinion, it takes the commitment of Joseph. And the commitment of Joseph is what makes it easier for me to get an insight into and a glimpse of the impossible that is actually possible. To have faith in what God promises us and offers us indeed fulfills all of God's promises. The promises that all this can be true, that all of this did happen, that God did come into the world in the form of humanity to live as we lived, to know as we know. And one reason that I know this is true, and this is like kind of like a little bit of a, like, I'm not sure what the word is. I couldn't think of it. I have a little blank here. But it's like a rationalization, that's the word, that all this is true because this story has lived over 2,000 years. Untruth doesn't live that long the way the truth of the gospel has lived and worked in us and in the world. So sometimes I have trouble explaining or justifying the whole Christmas story to others, and truthfully, sometimes even to myself. And in those times when I'm not sure what to say or even what the questions might be that I wonder about, I take time and I look to Joseph. And I look to Joseph as the example of what it means to really trust God. And I look to Joseph as proof that Jesus has indeed come among us. Jesus is indeed from the Holy Spirit and the Son of God. And Matthew takes the time to point out to the reader what all these implications are, these fulfillment prophecies, if you will. He reminds us of things of what the prophet said. He reminds us of God's power through the dreams of Joseph. He reminds us of Isaiah's words. And he reminds us that Jesus has a mission. And Matthew also reminds us that we each have a choice. We have a choice to do as Joseph did, and to believe and to listen and to follow what it is that God calls us to do. And that is to be participants in the great event that we are about to celebrate. Participants. We don't just come to and see a manger scene or a creche or nativity or whatever we call it. It's not just that image, that thing that we see. It's that thing that we live inside our hearts, that belief that we carry into the world that no one can take from us, that belief that we look to Joseph to help us to understand and to accept, that belief that there are things unseen that I cannot explain. And you know what? I want to know all the answers. I really do. I'll admit that. I would really like to open my Bible and for it to say, well, this is why this happened, and this is what this meant. But that's not the case. And sometimes when I don't understand, when I'm not sure I get it, like Joseph, I am afraid. Not afraid that the challenges, the same challenges that Joseph experienced, obviously. But I am afraid of my own challenges, the challenge of my own doubt, my own questions. And then when I think about that, I go to this scripture and I hear the words of the angel that say, "Do not be afraid." And when angels come and say, "Do not be afraid," that's a powerful thing. And you know what? I believe those words. I have this ability somehow to imagine the angelic presence sent by God that says, "Do not be afraid." You know, I can't explain it all to you. You will not get it all, but don't worry about it. Don't be afraid, because God has got it. So as we end our Advent time together, remember that God will indeed take care of everything. And it's on us, though. You know, God's going to take care of everything, and God shows us all kinds of wonder and awe, but it's on us to pay attention to it and to believe that it is true. Because in all things, ultimate truth does remind us that we are in God's hands. The beginning of the journey comes next week, this week, and there is no end to the journey. The journey that we are about to begin, the journey of Jesus, has no ending. It is eternal, and it offers us the gift of eternity. So as Advent closes, I remind you, be watchful, pay attention, look around you and see how God is working in the world, and see how God is working in you, in all of us. Take time. Take time and watch for the angels. Listen to that sound, "Do not be afraid." That carol, "Angels We Have Heard on High," that's for me. That's a call that is important, to hear the voices of the angels. So again, I say wait. We've waited 4 weeks. We've got one more week to wait. Prepare yourself. Prepare your nativity. Prepare your tree. But above all, prepare your heart. Amen.